You're listening to Central Time. I'm Veronica Rickert.
And I'm Rob Ferret. Coming up, Wisconsin started its recount of presidential votes yesterday. Today, super PACs that had supported Donald Trump filed a federal lawsuit to stop the Wisconsin recount. We'll get the details of this and other top Wisconsin news in our weekly roundup with Rob Menser.
First, it's Food Friday, and we're talking about how to create delicious food and community when you feel like hibernating this winter. Our next guest is the author of a cookbook called Soup Swap. Behind all the recipes is an idea to bring people together in a way that's creative and convenient by swapping soup.
Kathy Gunst joins us now. She's the resident chef of the NPR show Here and Now and a James Beard Award-winning food journalist. She's also the author of 15 cookbooks in addition to Soup Swap. Kathy, welcome to Central Time.
So nice to be here. Thanks for having me.
Well, walk us through the concept of a soup swap. How does it work?
Okay. Well, it's for me, personally, it started 6 years ago. I live in a small town in southern Maine, and a neighbor, a friend who loves to cook and eat, called and said, let's have a soup swap. And all I could hear was, uh-oh, another version of potluck. And I'm kind of fed up with potlucks. I don't know about you guys, but there are a lot of potlucks around here. And because I cook and think about food pretty much every waking minute. When you invite me to your house, I kind of want you to cook for me. So when she mentioned this idea, first of all, I said, I don't even know what a soup swap is, but is this just another potluck? And she said, no, here's the idea. We'll do it all winter long on the second Sunday of the month, all winter, and we'll go to a different person's home each time, and the host will make salad and bread and dessert, and then everybody brings a pot of soup, and we have a party. And then at the end of the night, and we all bring yogurt containers and mason jars, and at the end of the night, we go home with 6 or 8 or 10 leftover homemade soups instead of being stuck with that same old pot of soup all week. And I started doing the math, and I said, okay, so we cook once, but you go home with 6 or 8 or 10 meals? This sounds great. So 6 winters ago, we started doing this with a group of 12 friends and neighbors, and we're still doing it, and it has been a wonderful, wonderful way to make the winter a whole lot warmer, and it's just been fabulous. And, of course, the book came out of that whole experience.
And what kind of soups did you eat that first year?
Well, funny you should ask. The first year, the soups were, I don't want to be rude because people are going to think, oh, she's a food snob, but they were very basic. What you might eat, chicken noodle, tomato soup, kind of reminiscent of childhood soups. There were a lot of purees, you know, pureed squash soup, pureed zucchini soup, pureed bean soup, and they were good, and we loved them all. But what happened over the first year, and certainly by the second and third year, is that the soups became so much more sophisticated. The flavor profile was so heightened. It was as if people just, like, we had this focus all winter long. We had become soup makers. So we started basic, and then it seemed that each time we got together, people took a little bit more of a risk. They started making their own stock, or they started making Thai red curry soup, or a Russian borscht, or soups that are a little more involved and have a more interesting flavor profile. But the other thing that happened was that we, as a group, we were all friends of my neighbors. None of us were particularly very friendly with each other. We were kind of friends of friends. But by the second or third soup swap, something very clearly was happening. And for lack of a better word, it seemed that we were building community, that we were becoming really close, and we all so looked forward to those cold, snowy, soup-filled Sunday nights when we all got together. And it's really been an interesting process to see how making a pot of soup can actually build community.
We are making soup and building community with Kathy Gunst. Her new cookbook is called Soup Swap. This idea you can have, in addition to making soup, you can get a bunch of people together, make lots of different soups, share out the leftovers. You got a lot of different flavors to eat when you come home. Let's get to some soup making now, Kathy. You mentioned as people started to up their soup making games, some people started making their own stocks. And that's something I've played with. I make a lot of soup. I usually use something from the store to get that stock started.
Yeah, yeah.
Make the case for making our own stock.
I'm so glad you asked me that. This is one of my favorite cases to make. There is nothing wrong with using box stock. They've gotten a whole lot better than ones you find in the grocery store. I tend to tell people to look for low sodium or organic brands. But making your own stock, let me just break it down, okay? So let's start with chicken stock. Here's what's involved, people. Like, I think people imagine like a French chef with a tall white toque and a copper pot the size of, you know, a bathtub with bones, like, and whole animals coming out of it. But here's what it really is. You put a chicken in a pot. You throw in two carrots, two or three stalks of celery, an onion, a bay leaf, some peppercorn, and salt. And you just barely cover it with water. You bring it to a boil. You reduce it. You partially cover it, and you walk away for an hour and a half. So you go to a movie, you make a phone call, you do what you do on the computer, whatever your thing is. And an hour and a half later, you're going to come back, and you will not only have a gorgeous pot of stock, but you will have a fully cooked chicken, which you can then use in soups or stews or sandwiches or salads. You get like you get two for the price of one. Another thing is that you can use what I call recycled foods. There's a lot of talk about food waste. It's something we all need to be conscious of. So what I do when I trim vegetables, let's say I'm cutting a leek and I'm trimming off the dark green part or the root stem, or I'm peeling an onion, or I'm peeling a carrot or a parsnip, I keep all of those peelings, and I keep them in a bag in the refrigerator. And when I have, a pretty large-sized bag, not weeks, we don't wait till it turns to compost, it's still fresh peelings, I put it in a strainer, I wash it all, and I throw it in a pot, and I do the same thing, barely cover it with water, add a full carrot, celery, onion, and I get this gorgeous vegetable stock from foods that I probably would have thrown away. The same is true after you've had your Thanksgiving turkey or a roast chicken. You can use the carcass to make a gorgeous stock. There is still a ton of flavor on it. So stocks are so much simpler than most people think. It's just become a scary word. I can't tell you why.
So let's say you made that homemade stock for the first time and you want to try out one of your recipes, chicken soup with noodles and matzo balls. It's just one or the other, isn't it? You're really going for it in this one.
Well, a lot of Jewish delis, I grew up outside of New York City. That was a big thing. They would do matzo balls and noodles. Mm. You could do one or the other. Matzo ball soup is classic Passover food, the spring Jewish holiday. But chicken noodle soup is... The Jews like to call it Jewish penicillin, but I'll tell you, it'll get you through any winter cold or flu or sore throat. It's what I turn to after the second sneeze or the first tickle in my throat all winter long. And again, you're making this chicken stock, and that's the base of it. And then you can strain out the vegetables and the chicken and add some fresh carrots and onion and celery, and then you can cook the noodles. This is really important for all soups where you add any kind of pasta or rice. You always want to cook it separately because what happens is if you throw raw rice or raw noodles into a chicken stock or any type of stock, when you cook pasta, as you know, it absorbs some water and it gets soft and it releases all this starch. And you don't really want that to happen in your soup. So you always want to cook the noodles separately and then add them. And then matzo balls are really fun to make. You get matzo meal and you add some chicken fat and egg. And my mother-in-law taught me if you add seltzer instead of water, they become very fluffy and light.
A delicious one. Actually, that was just a revelation. We were all kind of nodding our heads when we were talking about cooking the noodles separately. I always wondered, why do I just have noodles and no more soup?
Well, exactly. I mean, I always so after Thanksgiving, I always take the turkey carcass and make a big pot of turkey stock. And then I love to make the Greek turkey lemon rice soup. So have turkey stock and you can add rice or orzo and lemon and egg yolks. And it's this thick, comforting, wonderful soup. And I used to make it where I just threw the orzo into the pot because orzo seemed so little, like I could get away with it. And after an hour, my soup was this big mush. because the orzo continues to drink all that delicious soup. So you want to drink it and not let your pasta drink it.
I've been there, too. We are talking to Kathy Gunst. By the way, we've got that recipe, the chicken noodle and matzah soup, and some other ones linked on the Central Time Facebook page. Kathy is a food journalist, author of the cookbook we're talking about, Soup Swap, comforting recipes to make and share.
And we want to hear from you on this. What kind of soups are you looking forward to as we get to the thick of winter? You can share your favorite recipes with us by calling 800-642-1234 or posting on the Central Time Facebook page. Let us know what your favorite soup garnishes are. What kinds of things do you like on the side? And what about those homemade stocks? Do you do that? And do you feel like it's worth it? What's your favorite method for making a homemade stock? If you've got any questions, Kathy is right here to answer your soup questions. Our number 800-642-1234.
We'll pick up the conversation, maybe hear from you, coming up on Central Time. You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Veronica Rickard. And right now we're picking up the conversation with Kathy Gunst, James Beard award-winning food journalist and author of the new cookbook called Soup Swap, comforting recipes to make and share.
You can join in at 800-642-1234. What is your favorite soup to make? What is your favorite soup to eat when somebody else makes it for you? Do you have questions for Kathy, some advice, a soup that you want to make, it just doesn't go right when you try it? What is your favorite technique? Do you make your own stock? Call with all things soup-related at 800-642-1234. And hey, have you ever done this idea? Everybody makes soup, comes over, eat some, swap out the rest, or would you do this with your friends, neighbors, family? Call 800-642-1234 or post on the Central Time Facebook page.
And Kathy, I want to ask you, what is it about soup that makes the soup swap thing work, do you think? Because I can't imagine that there would be as much enthusiasm if it were a salad swap. I mean, I guess salads would be a little fun, but soup seems so much more
well, maybe
comforting.
On July 4th it might be fun. I don't know. I think soup is probably the ultimate comfort food. If you think back to being a kid and having your mother, grandmother, whoever it was that helped you, you know, just serve you a bowl of soup, that's just the most comforting memory. And there's something about soup, I think the process of slowly letting flavors emerge and having this broth and adding vegetables or meat or fish to it, there's just something about that process, for me at least, that really grounds me. I mean, during the whole election, when I really thought that I was going to go out of my mind and I was so deeply unsettled by it, I just kept making soup every single day. And I did find it deeply comforting and somehow rooting and grounding. And there is just something about a pot of soup that makes people feel good. So sharing it with friends, neighbors, maybe it's your book club, maybe it's your yoga group, maybe it's a church or synagogue. It's a wonderful way to get people together. It's a food that almost everybody loves. And it's a really interesting way to learn about where people are from, where they grew up, what kind of things they grew up with, because hopefully some people will call in whenever I've been talking a lot around the country, and when I'm in live audiences, I always ask the audience, so if you were a soup, who would you be? And it's so interesting because almost always people tell these stories and they put their hand on their heart. And there's something about telling a story about soup or childhood or growing up. A lot of people have talked about, older people have talked about wartime and stretching a dollar or only having a few things in their larder, but that they made these beautiful soups. This is another wonderful thing about soup, is that there's no class boundaries to it. You can make a pot of soup from dried beans for a few pennies a serving, and you can make soup from lobster, and you could add caviar and everything in between. And it's really interesting to hear people's stories. It's a very lovely way to bring people together.
Let's bring on a caller at 800-642-1234. Nathaniel is with us in Eau Claire. Nathaniel, hi.
Hey there. Great show. I absolutely love what you guys are doing. I have two things. One is I'm actually a chef at a Japanese restaurant here in Eau Claire, and I can tell you that soup is one of the simplest and most complex things you can ever possibly imagine. It's very, very difficult to get it right, but, you know, you can always make something from the meagerest of ingredients. My second thing is that Gordon Ramsay actually has one of my favorite recipes I've ever made online. You can look it up, and it's a roasted tomato recipe for a soup. And it actually combines like a homemade pesto made from sun-dried tomatoes and Parmesan in addition to roasted vine tomatoes. And it's absolutely fantastic.
Yum.
Especially if you've got some extra vine tomatoes stocked up at home, and they're kind of starting to go bad because the riper they are, the better the soup. So definitely check it out. I recommend it to everybody. It seems really complex, but it gives you a really good example about how you can make amazing, simple, cheap dishes at home, and Ramsay does a fantastic job of doing that.
Nathaniel, thanks for that recommendation for the roasted tomato soup. And he's at a Japanese restaurant that reminds me that one of the recipes we've got of yours, Kathy, is a vegetable ramen in miso ginger broth.
Yeah, oh, that's so delicious. I loved what Nathaniel said about it being complex but very simple at the same time. That's actually a really profound thought because it really does succinctly tell the story of soup. It's not complex, and yet it can be so sophisticated. The ramen recipe that you've got uses late fall vegetables like butternut squash, and you could use anything. I use sunchokes or water chestnuts, mustard greens or spinach or spicy greens. And then the broth is quite simple, speaking of Japanese flavors. It's a very simple miso broth with fresh ginger, and then you can add noodles to it at the end. And that's a whole dinner. That is a one-bowl dinner that is so comforting and soothing and satisfying.
Thanks a lot for that call. And we go next to Jason in Sheboygan. Jason, hi.
Good afternoon.
What did you want to share?
When I do my beef barley, I will run a 5-pound beef roast through the crock pot. Then I'll save the broth, freeze it, and then run upwards of 15 to 20 pounds of beef through the same broth before turning it into soup. And that's just
wow, that sounds fabulous.
Flavor amazingly. And then another thing I do with chili or spaghetti sauce is simmer it, and then at bedtime, take it off the heat, wrap it up in 2 or 3 bath towels, turn it back on in the morning while I'm getting ready to go to work, take it off, wrap it up again. It never gets below 150 or 160 degrees, and it essentially simmers for 2 days before eating it and putting it away, freezing it.
That's the best of slow cooking.
What do you think about that sort of really letting the flavors develop over a long period of time sort of method, Kathy?
Well, I think it can be really successful. I like to say that soup is like people at a party that don't know each other very well. So you're all in the room, you get a drink, you're getting to know each other, it's a little awkward, you know, you're all new to each other, and within an hour or two or three, you're really having a good time, and you're getting friendly, and you're mingling, and soup is a lot like that. It's always, almost always, better the next day. It really takes slow cooking to let those flavors develop. I do a beef barley mushroom soup in the book where I soak dried mushrooms and then I strain the liquid, which becomes this beautiful mushroom broth, and add that back to the soup just to build even more flavor.
Thanks a lot for that call, Jason. We're talking to Kathy Gunst, author of Soup Swap, Comforting Recipes to Make and Share. A lot of her soup recipes linked on the Central Time Facebook page. We'll go next to Anne on the line in Green Bay. Anne, hi.
Hi. I just wanted to share that the last several years, my husband makes up quarts upon quarts. I think we had like 86 quarts of canned soup that he's made. He makes his own stock, and we give them as Christmas presents to family and friends.
How lovely. What a wonderful husband. That sounds like such a great gift. I'm a big believer in food gifts.
And is it all the same flavor of soup or all different kinds of soup?
Nope, different kinds he'll make.
Okay, well, thank you so much.
What a great gift.
That sounds fantastic. Anne, thanks for that. And let's take another call, a brief call here from Carol in Sullivan. Carol, hi.
Hi. It's so funny you're talking about soup now because we have our cookie exchange on Sunday. And once a year, I make this beef cabbage oxtail soup.
Mm.
Oh, it is so good. I put some barley in it, the cabbage, carrots, celery, all the vegetables I can find. And right now I got my oxtails cooking in the slow cooker in a beef broth. And then I'll put it all together tomorrow, and we'll exchange our cookies.
How nice.
It sounds like a well-loved soup. Go ahead, Kathy.
I was just going to say that a lot of times when I'm trying to describe what this book, Soup Swap, is about, I say, think of a Christmas cookie swap, only healthier. So you've got both going. Boy, you've got some sophisticated listeners. Their cooking sounds so fabulous.
Well, Kathy, what are you going to make for your next soup swap?
Well, I'm not sure. One thing that I really love is I do a roasted carrot and ginger soup. And roasting carrots, because they're root vegetables, it brings out a lot of the sugars and the sweetness in the carrots. And we have a winter farmer's market, so I'm going to go there tomorrow and buy a whole bunch of locally grown carrots and roast them. And then this is a really cool trick. I add fresh ginger to the soup, but I also take a tea bag of ginger tea, which you can buy in any supermarket, and I make a very strong mug of ginger tea, and then I strain that ginger tea into the soup, and so that becomes like a flavored broth as well, and the ginger flavor is not only fresh in the soup, but then you have the ginger tea, and then I puree the whole thing, and I'll grate fresh ginger on top at the end, so you get ginger in three different ways.
Wow, that sounds really yummy.
Triple ginger soup, wow.
Triple ginger, yeah.
And the tea bag, I love that idea. I make carrot ginger soup too, but I do not roast the carrots or do the tea bag, so.
The tea bag is a revelation.
Yeah.
I mean, it's so simple. It takes no effort, and you can't believe the way it pulls out that ginger flavor in the best of ways.
Kathy, thanks a lot for joining us today. It's been a lot of fun.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
That's Kathy Gunst. She's the resident chef of the NPR show Here and Now, James Beard Award-winning food journalist. She's the author of 15 cookbooks, including Soup Swap, Comforting Recipes to Make and Share. You can see the recipes we talked about today and a bunch more of them, actually, that Kathy has provided for us. Head over to the Central Time Facebook page or check out today's Food Friday page. You can find that over at WPR.org.